Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And just like to say that it is a privilege to be able to share the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ with you all. And we're going to continue with our class, The Purpose for the Soul. And as always, I just like to just ask a couple questions just real quick, because I never know who's watching the class. This may be the first time someone's watching the class. I don't know. You never know. But basically the questions are this, which they pertain to the uttermost concerning the purpose for the soul. The first question is, are you born again? Anyone who is born again would say it is of necessity for one that is not born again to be born again. Anyone who's born again would say that it is an absolute must. Then, so if you're not born again, you must be born again. So then also, the question for those who are born again, are you knowing the life that you have received? Is the life that you have been birthed of being known by your soul? Is that very life appearing in your soul as the light of life? Another way of saying it, the way Paul said it, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. And anyone who has in their soul experienced the revealing of the Lord, the appearing of Christ, will say without hesitation, it is a must, it is of necessity, of extreme importance, that the one who is born again would turn their hearts, that Christ would appear. And then continue in that, live in that appearing, just as Paul said it in Acts, which we already covered the verse in Acts. So those are just two basic questions that I like to ask before every class, because that is basically the class in a nutshell, the appearing of Christ, the purpose for the soul. We've looked at it also in Acts already previously. This, thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. That is it. Nothing less than the appearing of Christ. Okay. Well, for this class, I had some thoughts, excuse me, concerning the class. And just mainly thoughts that you, the viewers, or the listeners may or may not have, depending on your background and whether this is the first class that you've seen from the CMI School of Christ, or whether it's not the first class. That doesn't matter. But just some possible thoughts concerning these classes, and just basically concerning all the ministry that goes out from here. Now, specifically concerning this class here, it was just a thought that I had that one may have that's viewing this class. The thought can basically be this: well, this is a good teaching. This is a good lesson. This is a good sermon, etc., etc., etc. This is a nice doctrine that I like to listen to. I've never heard this type of teaching before. I like this teaching. I think I'll learn this teaching. I think I will learn about this doctrine. And for whatever, for whatever the reasons may be, whatever the goal may be in the heart of whoever would have that thought, they could also be thinking that it's a good teaching, and I'm going to learn more about this so that I can teach this, or so that I can preach this, etc. Those are some thoughts that those listening or viewing these classes may have. This is a good teaching. I want to live accordingly. Or I want to now act according to this teaching. Okay? These are just thoughts. Well, the first thing that I'd really like to say concerning these thoughts and concerning those particular thoughts, and specifically those particular thoughts, is that man cannot reveal Christ. Period. That is, what I mean by that is a teaching cannot reveal Christ. A sermon cannot reveal Christ. A lesson cannot reveal Christ. All that I do, all that others do in these classes, we cannot, by what we do, reveal Christ in your soul. Cause Christ to appear in your soul. Cannot. Man cannot study enough, learn enough that Christ would be revealed in his soul. Man cannot pray enough that Christ would be revealed in his soul. Now, you can pray the prayer, "Oh, Father, reveal your Son in me." You can pray that prayer, but unless the Father reveals the Son will not be seen. The Son will not appear. It is the Father through the Spirit, nothing less. It is not an act of man. It is an act of God. The Father reveals his Son. All right? Not man, not the speaker unto the listener or the viewer, and not the one listening unto himself or others. No, no. Man does not reveal the Son. The Father reveals the Son. Nothing less. Nothing less. It is a work of the Spirit. Now, considering other possible thoughts, because I was just thinking about just the classes that have been presented of this reality of Christ concerning the purpose for our soul, and the other classes, titles as well, that have been shared. Another thought could be basically this. One who's, like I said, we never know who's watching these videos, who's viewing them, or who's listening. The thought may be this. Well, I don't need to learn this teaching. I do not need to learn this teaching. They may say, I like this other teaching better. I like teaching about the teachings about peace. I think I'll just stay there. Or I like the teachings about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'll just stay with the gifts and declare the gifts and learn all about the gifts and preach the gifts. Well, the thing is that in those types of thoughts, in whatever way we want to put this word into a box and make it a teaching or a doctrine, we can't do that, because in reality we are not, please listen, we literally are not rejecting a teaching or a preaching or a sermon or a doctrine or a theology. We are literally rejecting the very purpose for which the soul was created of God. That purpose being the appearing of his Son. This is not a teaching. This is not a doctrine. This is not a sermon material. This is the very purpose for your soul. When Christ appears in your soul, will you declare what you are knowing? Yes. In fact, regardless if he appears or not, you will declare what you are knowing. You will declare nothing less. We speak out from that which we are knowing. If Christ has not appeared in our soul, then out from whatever we are knowing, we will declare, we will speak, we will act, we will be motivated by. If Christ appears in your soul, and you continue in that appearing, then you will declare that very appearing. You will have nothing less to speak of, nothing less to be motivated by. All right? Just continuing with different types of thoughts, you could have the thought, "Well, I don't need to go this way. I've never heard that before, or that doesn't sound familiar. I don't want to go that route. I don't really like that, you know, that teaching or that that line of theology or whatever. Well, once again, you're not rejecting a particular theme of the scriptures, per se. You're not rejecting a theology. You're not rejecting a doctrine. You're not rejecting a teaching or a sermon. You are, or a class or a lesson, you are literally rejecting the very purpose for which your soul was created of God. Nothing less. When you reject the appearing of Christ in your soul, you are rejecting the purpose for which you were created. Nothing less. Israel themselves, they rejected the purpose for which they were created. They were to be the inheritance of Christ. He came unto his own. Listen, he came unto his own. His own received him not. He came unto that which was his, rightfully his, by right. And they rejected him. In fact, he gave I think it was Jesus who gave the parable of the vineyardmen, of the laborers in the vineyard. They wanted the inheritance for themselves. So they said, let's kill the heir that the inheritance may be ours. And so they did. They rejected him and they killed him. This is not a teaching or a doctrine thing. This is the very purpose for which our soul was created of God, for nothing less. We cannot reject this and think, oh, well, everything's okay. This is just another teaching. No. It is beyond a teaching. It is beyond a doctrine. It is the very life itself. And the appearing of that life and the appearing of that very light of that life in your soul. All right? I think I gave this example, some of these examples in the last class. When Israel was approaching Canaan, and I may have, forgive me if I have, is good. Repetition is always good. Israel approaching Canaan, they rejected their purpose for existing. Israel at that time, when they approached Canaan, they were to be a testimony of Christ. What did God say to tell Moses, to tell Pharaoh? Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Let my son go. In God's mind, Israel is a testimony of his son. So when Israel comes up to the borders of the Jordan, right up to Canaan itself, that was supposed to be their inheritance, given of God, promised of God, rightfully theirs, by God himself, given of God himself, they rejected that purpose. They said, no. No, we're not going in. We will not go in. It's too much for us. They had themselves in view. They did not have Christ in view. They did not have their purpose for existing in view. They were to be a type of Christ taking possession of what is rightfully his, and him appearing in his possession, and him filling his possession with the fullness of himself, with his own name, bearing his own name. The land, of course, later on, the land became known as Israel. No longer Canaan. It began to bear the image of the Son, Israel. Our souls, brothers and sisters, our souls are to bear his image, are to bear his name. He is to have his appearing in our souls. That is the only way we will bear his image or bear his name, is if he appears. That's it. That's it. All right. So, once again, with Israel approaching Canaan, they were to be that testimony of Christ. They rejected that. They said no. They refused. Therefore, please listen, therefore they died in the wilderness and existed without purpose, with no purpose at all. They just existed till they died off the face of the earth. They did not walk in purpose, but they walked in vanity. It was vain. Their existence was vain, with no purpose. It is so important that we not reject the purpose for which the Lord created our souls. It is so important that we do not reject the purpose for which our souls were created, the appearing of Christ. If we do, like Israel, we will literally walk on this world with no purpose at all. Vain existence. A vain existence with no purpose at all. But thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit continually deals with our heart He does not stop. It's the same dealing for one who's not born again as one who is born again. Deals with our heart, that the heart would finally turn to the Lord, that the veil be removed, and Christ would have his appearing in the soul. Once again, first for the one who is not born again, that life would appear where there was no life before. For the one who is born again, the Holy Spirit continues the same dealing, that the heart would finally turn to the Lord, veil be removed, that Christ would appear. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, with unveiled face, an unveiled heart, an unveiled view. And Christ appears, the light of life appears in our soul, and then we walk in the day. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We continue. Okay? We continue in that very light. We continue in that very purpose for which our souls were created. The Holy Spirit always deals with us according to purpose. According to purpose. Nothing less than purpose. All right? Now, once again, I'll just reiterate this. This is not a maybe yes or maybe no option. Kind of like when one's first born again and they're thinking, well, I'm just giving just a base example. Please understand, this is just like a base example. When one's first born again, they may be thinking, oh, well, should I be baptized in water or not? You know, I don't know. Do I need to do this publicly? Maybe I'm not born again if I don't, or maybe this. I'm not going to go into all those doctrines and stuff, okay? You know, you can have those thoughts and maybe something you need to do or maybe you don't. Brothers and sisters, this is not a maybe yes or maybe no option. This is not an option. The appearing of Christ in your soul is not an option. You have no option in this. You have no choice in this. It is either, yes, Lord, I will continue in purpose, or I will begin in purpose, or no, Lord, I will continue rebellious to the very own purpose of my existence. Okay? If you refuse your purpose, you exist with no purpose. The Scriptures testify of the appearing of Christ. You can look at John 5:39. We have covered this verse so many times. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And then he goes on to say, and you will not come to me that you may have that life. The Scriptures declare life, testify of life. Jesus says, I am that life. Okay? The Scriptures testify of the appearing of Christ. Your soul is to witness that very appearing. Your soul is to witness that very appearing and nothing less. Your soul was created for that very appearing. If in Genesis it says, as we've covered in a previous class, let there be light, and the light appeared, our soul is to experience Christ as that light. If God speaks to Moses, tell Israel to take a lamb for a household. Our soul must experience that lamb. And these are just the obvious. These are just the obvious. Oh gosh, everything in the Scripture testifies of Christ. Even the little the rings of the temple, the sockets of the temple. Everything testifies of Christ. If there is a heaven, it testifies of Christ. If there is an earth, it testifies of Christ. Everything is to be a testimony of Christ. Everything in the Scriptures. Okay? Now, going on. Once again, I stated this. This is why the Holy Spirit deals with our heart, that our soul would come to purpose and find rest. Once again, you who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. And we found that out in a previous class, I believe. Right there, it's coming to the origin, coming to the source, coming to Christ himself, the appearing of Christ himself. Therein our souls find rest. Nowhere less. Nowhere less. Nowhere less. It's only in his appearing. I won't even give the examples like that. But please understand, this is not a maybe type thing. Please consider it before the Lord. If if Christ has not been, if you are born again and Christ has not been revealed in your soul, then consider it before the Lord and ask the Lord, is this what this guy is saying? Is this real? Do I really exist that Christ would be revealed in me? And then that I would continue in that very revealing, in that very appearing of the beloved Son? Pray. Pray with the Lord concerning this. You know, He'll answer you. He'll answer you. And His best answer is when Christ appears. Because it is, He doesn't give an answer per se. He presents His Son. He presents His Son, nothing less. Nothing less. I mean, we'll get into it, but I'm already getting ahead of my notes. I'm thinking of Israel at Mount Sinai. You know, here they are, coming to Mount Sinai. What does God want us to do? What does God want? We'll do it. What does God want? Moses, go find out what God wants. Here goes Moses up to the mountain. The Lord presents to him the Ten Commandments. He presents to them a testimony of His Son. What does God want? Here it is, the testimony of my Son. Oh, He doesn't present us an answer. He presents us His Son. We just see things. We are so carnally minded that we pray according to things. We look at the Scriptures and we see things, just as Jesus said, for an example, John 5:39, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Oh, in the Scriptures it's speaking of an eternal life. I want that. Then He goes on to say, and they are they that testify of me. But we see things instead of the Christ they testify of, instead of the Messiah they testify of. So we search out, we do our searches and our studies on the terms. And by doing so, we reject the Christ. We reject the appearing of the Lord. But if you see the term, how greater it would be if some of those religious leaders would have searched the Scriptures and seen that eternal life being declared in the Scriptures and said, who is this, Lord? Who is this? Of whom do these speak, Lord? And the Father would immediately say, they speak of my Son. They speak of my Son, nothing less. Then their response in their heart would be, then give me this Son. Okay. I'll go on because I still have some more notes. All right. Not falling short, not coming short of our purpose. Not coming short, please listen, not coming short of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not falling short to something less than the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not coming short of purpose. Not coming short of the prize. Not falling short. Amen? All right. When Moses came down the mountain, here it is again, with the tables of stone, the people only saw the law. He had two tablets of stone, when Moses came down with the tablets to present before the people, because the pattern, Christ Himself, was already presented before Moses. Now Moses takes that which was presented unto him, unto the people. Remember, we can only declare that which we are knowing. If we are knowing the indwelling Christ, we will present, we will declare the indwelling Christ. It's just automatic. You automatically do that. You'll be governed by that. Okay? So here comes Moses off Mount Sinai, down from Mount Sinai, with the two tables of stone, you know, in his hand, and all that the people only saw the law, but the Lord was showing the testimony of His Son. And I'll just use this as an example. You know, we see the Hollywood movie and everything, and Moses comes down and he has two tables of stone, and they're written on one side. Well, actually, according to the Scripture, they're written on both sides. The Lord will use every bit of anything that he can possibly use to declare his son. He will use everything that it's available to use and declare the best testimony he possibly can with what he has to use. Two tables of stone, front and back. Use every bit of everything possible to declare the best testimony he can possibly declare with what is there. Okay? The people saw the law, but the Lord was showing the testimony of his son. And in fact, the Lord was showing his son. They are they that testify of me. Okay? Now, I do have this these verses where we see that. Excuse me. This is Exodus chapter 31. I just did a real quick simple search. All right, this is Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Two tables of testimony. Right here is just clearly stating it. We bypass the words. Two tables of testimony. And if we would be honest with ourselves, the question would be, what are the tables testifying of? Right? If we would truly be honest with ourselves, that would be my question, if I was truly honest with myself. Two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Tables of testimony. Wow, tables of testimony. What are these tables testifying of? Okay, we know. They testify of me, said Jesus. They are they that testify of me. Okay, the next verse that I have is is Exodus chapter 32, verse 15 through 16. Here's verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. There you go. God using everything. Everything. Every minute detail. Everything possible. Every bit possible to testify of his son. You know, if there is two tables of testimony, he will use every bit that he possibly can of those two tables to testify of his son. Not just, okay, take one table of testimony, I'll just write one little sentence. No. He's presenting his son. He's going to use the best possible description he possibly can give of his son with what he has. If at that point it's only two tables of testimony, he will cover them as much as he can to present the testimony of his son, to present his son. Okay? And the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. The tables were the work of God. The testimony was the testimony of God of his son in the scripture. It wasn't Moses' testimony. This was God's testimony of his son. God himself declaring his son, testifying of his son. See these two tables of testimony? They testify of Christ, nothing less. Nothing less. Well, who says that? Moses? No. God. God. We read it right here. The tables were the work of God. It wasn't the invention of man. It wasn't out of the mind of Moses. The work of God. Presenting his son. Right there. Presenting his son. Okay. We'll continue on with our verses. This is Exodus chapter 34. Verse 28 through 29. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. There it's called the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, verse 29, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. All right. Well, here it calls it also the Ten Commandments. Now, I have a footnote, Hebrew words, the Ten Words. That's nice. I've got a little footnote for that term, commandments, and it just says Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it's words. So here's Moses coming down with the Ten Words to declare the one word of God. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, it's just lovely. I haven't even looked it out in the Strong's or searched it out, but you can if you like. The Strong's number is 1697. I'll check it out too later on. 1697. Let me jot that down. 10 words to describe the one word of God. And you look at the scripture and the thousands of words to describe the one word of God. Christ himself. Okay. Let me just jot that down before I forget it. Strong's number for the term commandments, Strong's number 1697. Word. Okay. All right. Let's continue. Also, I would just like to say this. These verses that we've just covered, it literally says testimony. I mean, the term testimony is present in these verses. But please listen. Whether it says the term testimony or not, it testifies of Christ. Once again, they are they that testify of me. Whether it spells it out so clearly or not, it testifies of Christ. Okay? Now, it is very important. Please understand this. It is very important. It is only the testimony that will birth in our hearts the expectation for his appearing. The expectation that Christ would appear. The expectation to behold this Christ. By facilitating, birthing in our hearts, facilitating our hearts to turn. That the veil would be removed. That we would behold the substance of God. That we would behold the Christ of God, of which the scriptures are testifying of. It's only the testimony that will birth this in our hearts. And I know we've covered this early in previous classes, but it is of utter importance. It is only the testimony that will birth in our hearts this expectation to behold the Christ, the Messiah of God. All right. Now, when the Lord presents his Son, it's his Son whom he sees. Okay? It's his Son that he has in view, whom he's beholding. Man sees a thing. Man sees some thing, but not Christ. For example, two tables of stone. Man sees two tables of stone. Man sees the law God is presenting, giving testimony of his Christ. God presents a tree to testify of Christ. Man sees a tree. A thing. God presents a stone to testify of his Christ. Man sees a stone. Nothing more than a stone, a rock. These are just some examples. God presents a temple to testify of his Christ. Man sees a structure. A thing. Okay? God is continually presenting his Son. He presents his Son in the testimony, in the scripture. Our hearts are purposed our soul, understand, our hearts are purposed to turn based upon that testimony, and our soul is to witness that very appearing. Our soul, not our natural eye, not our natural brain in between our skull, between our ears, it's hidden in our skull. No. Our very soul is to witness that very appearing of which the Scriptures testify. To witness the appearing of Christ, to behold the appearing of Christ, to walk in purpose, to exist in purpose, to be in purpose, to be found in purpose. What did Paul say? That I may be found in Him, that I may know Him as He appears, as He is revealed in me. And we already talked about the spiritual order. If you do not see, you do not know. To see is to know. It's Luke chapter 20, 24. It's in a previous class. In the breaking of bread on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus broke the bread and handed it to them, and it says, and their eyes, and they saw Him, and they knew Him. Okay, that's the order. It's a spiritual order. Okay, let's just continue on. So man sees something, a thing, but not Christ. Even as the Lord spoke to Moses, we've already said this, take a lamb. Man sees an animal, a creature, but the Lord is saying, take the lamb who is testifying of my son. Take my son. Take my son, who is the substance of that lamb. Take my son. Take my Christ. Lay hold of my Christ. Behold Him in this manner. Experience Him in this manner. And really, that's what it is in each one of these. If the Lord presents a tree, and in that tree He is presenting the testimony of His Christ, we are to know, experience that appearing of Christ as that tree. And I'm not into, okay, now we're going all whacked out into, you know, cyberspace or, you know, whatever. No. I think it was it Moses? I can't remember who it was. Something was wrong with the waters, the bitter waters. So they took a tree, cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. And they were able to sustain themselves. They were able to refresh themselves. They were able to satisfy themselves. They are they that testify of me, says Jesus, nothing less. So there's a tree that's testifying of Christ. Christ appeared and they were satisfied. Christ appeared and they got to partake of. Christ appeared and they were allowed to enter rest. See, it's all, we're to know this, the Lord in this manner. If Christ, if we see the Lord, if the Spirit of God shows some term in the Scripture to be a testimony of Christ, our souls are to experience that very appearing of which the Scriptures are testifying of. Our souls, once again, are to witness that very appearing, experience that very appearing. Experience the purpose for which we were created, the appearing of Christ. Nothing less, nothing less. Okay, and I'll just go on because of time's sake. When you begin, if you're not walking in the appearing of the Lord, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you are not walking in the light, as He is that light, if you're not walking in the day, if the day has not dawned in your heart, in your soul, please understand, when you begin and continue in the appearing of Christ, you will know that you exist for nothing less. You will know that you exist for nothing less. But it is only when you begin and continue in the appearing of Christ. Till then, you think, I'll just throw this phrase out because the religion of man uses it quite often, and the world as well. You will think you have some calling, some purpose for existing, whatever that may be, and that is a false calling, a false purpose. Because in all truth, all actuality, all reality, you have one purpose for existing, the appearing of Christ in your soul, nothing less. God created your soul with one purpose. He has no other purpose but the appearing of His Son. Okay? Let there be light. It pleases God to reveal His Son. It pleases. If He create, I'll just use this base example. Well, no, that example doesn't even go far, because the world has one goal. The Spirit of God has a completely other goal. You know, I can't even use that example, because it still falls. Everything falls short. Everything falls short. Okay. But may we in our hearts not fall short of purpose, not come short of purpose. Amen? The appearing of Christ. All right. Let's see. The mystery is the Son Himself. If Christ does not appear in the Scriptures, then it's a mystery. If we see, with that example, if we see that tree, and if we don't see Christ, it's a mystery. Christ is a mystery unto us. If that very Christ, who's testified of in the Scriptures as that tree, does not appear in our souls, then He literally is a mystery unto us. We do not know the Christ we have received. We do not know the salvation we have received. We do not know the life we have received. We do not know this great salvation. The mystery is the Son Himself, please listen, who is hid from the eyes of man. For the heart is not turned to see Him. But when the heart shall turn, the veil shall be removed. That's 2 Corinthians 3:15 through 16. I quote it just about every class. We've actually looked at that passage. Till then, a mystery. A mystery. All right? It's a veil. That's what it is. A veil that hides the Christ of God. A veil of ignorance that hides us from seeing the testimony of Christ in the Scriptures, a veil over our hearts that hide the very, from us from seeing, from knowing, from beholding, the very indwelling Christ of God, who abides in our soul, who continues in our soul, who indwells our soul. A veil of ignorance. All right. Now it is only, this is out of Hebrews 9:28. It's only unto them that look for Him shall He appear. See, that's the thing. and even in hearing this reality, this truth being declared of the appearing of Christ, we can now try to, in our minds, appropriate His appearing for something. Remember? A different goal? God, reveal Your Son to me so that... A different goal? No. We're not looking for His appearing. We're looking for this that we have over here. We're looking for this goal. I have another goal. Well, God will not allow His Son to be seen unto a heart that truly doesn't desire to see Him. When Christ is the goal of our heart, when Christ is the goal of our soul, Him and only Him, the beholding of Him. That's why I said it is completely and utterly necessary that we search the Scriptures to see the testimony of Christ, because it's only the testimony that births in our heart the expectation of beholding that very Christ, that stirs in our heart that expectation. I will even go on with it. The Christmas story, okay? The Christmas story. Christ appeared. He appeared as a baby, but He appeared. All right, the Christmas story. Here you have three kings, because they saw a star that testified of Christ, birthed in their hearts an expectation to behold this Christ, that they got up, left wherever they were, and sought the substance, sought that very Christ. What did they say? We saw His star in the east. his star. This star testified of him. Birthed in our hearts in expectation, we set out to behold him. We set out to see him. It birthed in our hearts such an expectation that we could not sit still. We could not remain as we had always, as we always were. We could not continue any longer as the status quo. Such an expectation was built in our hearts. We had to go and see for ourselves. Rabin has covered it before in previous classes. The Queen of Sheba, she got up. She had to see Solomon for herself. It wasn't enough just to hear. She had to see. She had to behold him. She had to see if that which was told her was true. But even greater, she had to behold him. She had to see him. Because in her heart was birthed such an expectation based on the testimony of Solomon. Based on the testimony that those who came gave of Solomon. They testified of Solomon. The Queen of Sheba said, I must see this one. So she got up and went. Her heart pursued that very appearing till he appeared and she was satisfied. She was at rest. Okay? Simeon, Anna, the same thing. They declared the Christ. We've already covered these in previous classes. They declared the very Christ of God out of the Scriptures. The redemption that was looked for in Israel. The salvation that was promised. They were in the Scriptures. They were seeing the testimony. That testimony was birthing in their hearts that expectation to behold the Christ of God, the Messiah of God. They couldn't sit still. They couldn't stay. They couldn't remain. They knew, they understood their reason, their purpose for existing. And they ran after him. All right? That was Hebrews 9:28. And that passage basically, and unto them that look for him shall he appear. It's shall he appear apart from sin, with no reference to sin. It's basically the high priest. It comes from the high priest, the type of the testimony in the Old Testament. It's the high priest who all Israel, like once a year, they gather for the great day of atonement. The high priest goes into the temple and they behold him going in, and their very lives are dependent upon him. He goes into the temple before the Lord, does his all the duties of the temple within the veil. He goes within the veil. And at that time, the people are in expectation for his appearing. His appearing is very life unto them. They are in expectation for the appearing of him. Everything was bound up with his appearing. Before he goes into the temple, he does the sacrifice that had to do with the sin, you know, the sin offering and other sacrifices that have nothing to do with the sin offering, right? He went in. He went in before the Lord, and they're in expectation for him to appear unto them the second. And if you search it out in the Greek, in that verse, Hebrews 9:28, the term time is not in there. It's just the second. They are in expectation of him to appear. All Israel gathered there at the temple, at the door of the temple, just waiting for the high priest to come and present himself as their salvation, as their life, as their acceptance with God, as their grace with God. It's all there. He appears. Everything was bound up with his appearing. When that high priest appeared, their souls were at rest. Till then, their souls are in upheaval. Does God love me? Is God upset with me? What have I done? Am I forgiven for this? Did I do this wrong? Did I think this? What about my thought? What about my actions? What about my motives? I'm all screwed up. Oh, no, I won't go with that song. Anyway. Terrible. That's a pretty base example. But it's all there. His appearing, his appearing, everything was bound up with his appearing. When he appeared, they found the rest for their souls. And here's Jesus Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you will find rest for your souls. For your souls. Why? Because your soul will finally come into the purpose for which it was created, His very appearing. You can think about the celebration there was when the high priest came out and presented himself before the people. I mean, we're talking about a greater celebration than the U.S. Super Bowl. Greater than that. Everything was dependent upon His appearing. Brother and sister, in your soul, everything is dependent upon His appearing. Everything. Your purpose for His appearing, nothing less. The moment where in 2 Corinthians 3:15 through 16, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil should be removed. The moment the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. The moment, the instant the heart turns to the Lord, immediately the veil is removed. And we behold with an open face the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For the lost, if there are those, please understand this. When I start speaking, I'm not speaking according to the status quo, the regular understanding that we've had, that we've grown up with in the Christian religion of man. We hear the term the lost, and then we have our conception of what the lost is. Well, let me just present this to you. The lost. If there is one who is lost, a soul who is lost, it is a soul who is lost to his purpose, has not found the purpose for which he was created. One purpose for the soul, his appearing. So then those who are lost have not come to purpose. Praise God, the Holy Spirit deals with the heart, deals with the heart. If that soul was created for a purpose, God desires that it would come to that purpose. God desires to bring it unto that purpose. The religion of man has some other purpose. But not God. Not God. Okay? I will close with this because I'm running out of time here. I was just thinking about Paul after going over the notes of this class. I was thinking about Paul, Acts 26:16, where Christ appears unto him, and Jesus says, "I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter." Hereafter. It implies a continual seeing. This thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. Therein is the purpose for the soul. Therein is the purpose for which the soul was created. Later on in Acts 26 verse 19, Paul is accounting the appearing of Christ, this whole experience that his soul experienced, he's accounting this to the King Agrippa. Let's just go ahead and turn there real quick. This is Acts chapter 26. Verse 19. After saying all this, you know, reiterating it back to King Agrippa, he says, verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." And earlier, before this class, I was just looking at that that phrase, I was not disobedient. That phrase, I am, it's a Greek verb. It's the aorist verb. And I was looking in the online Bible, and it basically said this about the aorist verb. "The concept of the verb is considered without regard for past, present, or future time." And I was thinking about that. Here is Paul recounting this glorious appearing of Christ unto him, and he is not being rebellious unto his purpose for existing. He is not being rebellious for the purpose of which God created his soul. Paul could have very well said, I am not being disobedient to the heavenly vision. I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. I am not being disobedient to the heavenly vision. I will not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. I continue in his appearing. This thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. That verse is Acts 26:16 out of this James Murdoch's translation of the Syriac Peshitta. It's basically what that passage says. Here's Paul unto King Agrippa. I have not been disobedient for the purpose of which my soul was created, the appearing of Christ. I have not been, I am not, I currently am not disobedient unto his appearing, and I will not be disobedient unto his appearing. Paul is no longer resisting the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus said, Saul, Saul, Acts 26, a couple of verses earlier than 16. Saul, Saul, why do you kick against the goads? Why do you kick against the pricks? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Basically saying, why are you being so resisting? Why are you being so rebellious of me bringing you into the purpose for which your soul was created? Why are you doing this? It's detrimental to you. It's harmful to your soul. Finally, he yielded. And the Lord appeared. Finally, his heart turned and the Lord appeared. Here he's speaking to King Agrippa. I am not being disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Brother and sister, the Lord doesn't want us to continue disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He does not want us coming short of the purpose for which our soul was created. He does not want us falling short of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not falling short, not coming short. That's why the Holy Spirit continually deals with our hearts, continually deals with our hearts, till finally our hearts turn, the veil is removed, and we behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, and are changed into that same image. Till the light shines in our hearts, till the morning dawns in our hearts, till the day dawns, the morning comes, and we walk in purpose. And we continue in purpose day by day by day, appearing by appearing by appearing. The Lord would not have us come short of purpose, come short of the purpose for which our souls were created. He would not have us come short of beholding his very Christ. Amen. So may the Holy Spirit just continually deal with our hearts, and may we not be rebellious unto his heavenly vision, unto his heavenly presentation, unto his heavenly appearing of Christ. Glorious appearing of Christ. Let us just yield to the Holy Spirit, yield to the testimony of the Scriptures, yield to the work of God. Amen? Amen.